like many of you, I was impacted by many preachers who would use Luke 6:38. You know, give, it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. With the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. And so, you know, they'd hammer you with that at offering time. And you see there, you know, if you give a little, you're only going to get a little bit. If you give big, boy, is God going to give big unto you. And, you know, sometimes they tie in anointings and what all, you know, for these offerings. So by the time they're finished, you know, it's like, well, yeah, gee whiz, I better give. Or, you know, boy, I'm going to be left out there in nowhere. But that's not what it's about. Because this passage, you kind of have to really, you jump back to chapter 6, verse 1 to get a running start into this. But, you know, Jesus is talking and he says in verse 27, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As you would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. But with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, very, very, very briefly. What he's talking about here has nothing to do with the church offering. It has everything to do with my stuff and my money being used to impact people for God. That's what it comes down to. And the whole thing of the giving, you know, in this example, you're not giving to a church. You're responding to all those bad people and the stuff that they've done unto you. And God says, look, if you'll act like me toward these people, I will move in a way that men will give unto you. That men will give unto you. Our problem is that we sit and try to figure out who it is that's going to give unto us. How in the world are they going to do it? Well, how in the world is God going to get anybody to give anything to me? Well, I don't understand what the deal is, you know, and who is it that's going to be giving? How are they going to, are they going to give me a check? Will they give me money, cash? Are they going to give me like a car or something? I mean, how are they going to do this? You know what? Who cares? I mean, see, God has said he'll do this. God has said, if you'll use your stuff and your money for my benefit, then what I'm going to do is see to it that you are blessed in return. Now, if I give in an offering trying to motivate God to give to me, I've just lost out. Because, see, my heart's wrong. But what I want to point out to you is this. This concept of good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty good deal. It sounds like a lot. What I don't want to do for me is start envisioning myself as sitting at home and people coming knocking on my door and saying, well, I don't know why I'm doing this, but here's $1 million. Now, I'm not saying that couldn't happen. But what I'm saying is I don't want to get my focus on me. But notice this. God says he's going to move on people and they're going to give unto you. He doesn't tell you how, doesn't tell you when, doesn't tell you, you know, a time frame or anything. I mean, he just says, look, it's going to happen. If God says this will happen, it will happen. But if we're not using our stuff and our money for kingdom purpose, we are nullifying ourselves from verse 38. Now, in this, he's saying, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, so on and so forth. And the reason he's saying that is because once we receive what's happening in verse 38, he knows we're going to turn around and use it for the continuation of the gospel, the kingdom, and ministering to these people that he identifies here. We have a hard time seeing this. We have a hard time envisioning this because it's kind of an abstract thing. We measure what God is able to give to us based on what we presently have. Now, it sounds kind of weird, but let me put it like this. If I have a $20,000 a year life, whatever that means, if I have a $20,000 a year life, you know what I do? I restrict myself to that concept. And I don't see beyond that. We are trying to figure out what restaurant to go eat at based upon what we see in our wallet. The people that have the potential to give unto us are trying to figure out which restaurant chains to buy. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're trying to figure out, okay, now what kind of a hotel room can I afford? There are people out there who are sitting down trying to figure out which hotel chains do I buy. The money is out there. Listen, right now, there are trillions of dollars not doing anything, just resting somewhere, waiting for somebody to do something with it. I don't think there's one person in this room that can relate to that concept. You take a look at, what's the guy, Berkshire Hathaway? Warren Buffett. Do you realize, Warren Buffett, he could say, I'm thinking I'd like to buy a restaurant chain. And somebody might say, there's one down over here that closed because the people, they retired. And he said, wait a second, you don't understand. I'm not looking to buy a restaurant. I'm going to buy the whole chain. Yeah, but Mr. Buffett, that could cost you like $1.8 billion. He'd just look at you and say, and? Is that all? Seriously? Okay. Well, are there two? Because if there's another chain of it, are you starting to understand what I'm saying? The money is out there. There are people, look at these athletes. If you don't believe the money is out there, look at how much the athletes are being paid. Do you know who's paying them? The owners of the team. Listen, here's what folks like us don't understand. When these guys buy a professional sports team, it's not because they're desperate for a way to make money. They buy the team because they can. And whatever they were doing to make the money to buy the team, they're still doing it. The team is like their hobby. But they also know they can hold on to it for maybe 10 years and sell it for double what they bought it for. You think they're all happy because they like baseball. Trust me, it's cha-ching. And they're able to pay the players 10, 8, 20, 25, 30 million a year to swing a piece of wood at a round sphere covered by rawhide? Seriously? And we sit down and try to figure out, oh God, how are you going to bless me? He's saying, are you serious? I can touch that person's heart. And he can divert $10 million in your direction and not lay awake at night wondering what he's going to do next. The money is out there. If it weren't, there would be nobody to give unto our bosom to the point of overflowing. You see this? It has to be available. We sell God short, as they say, because we evaluate what he can do based on what we think can happen in our lives. We're thinking, oh man, I tell you what, boy, it sure would be nice to have $50,000. Oh, it'd be nice to have $50,000, but well, I don't know if God could do that. Woo-hoo-hoo, I don't. And these people that are out there, they're making $50,000 a minute. There's, look, you know what, $50,000? Okay, hold on. Yeah, there you go. Now that sounds kind of silly, but guys, that's how it is in this world. God is looking down on more money than we can possibly imagine. Lost people have it. Christians have it. It's out there. We have to be willing to do what we can with what we have for kingdom purpose. And if the only thing that I have is $10, you know what? That's all I have. And God knows it. He never puts pressure on us. You know, years ago, I bought into this, you're a child of a king, you need to act like it, look like it, smell like it, dress like it, you know. I used to like, yeah, that's right, that's right. That stuff disgusts me. Now, I'm already living like a child of the king. Just because I don't have a gold Rolls Royce doesn't mean I'm not a child of the king. I am a child of the king. And my decision is to use what I have for his kingdom purposes. Tonight, when we receive this offering, guys, it's not about what you don't have. It's about what you have right now at this point in your life. Some people, you might be here tonight, and financially, you're not able to give anything in the offering. Well, you know what? If you're not, you're not. And there's no condemnation over that. Absolutely none. None. But then you might be here and you're thinking, well, you know, I could drop about $4,000 or $5,000 in the offering. Well, then bless God. It's all about our heart, is what it really comes down to. It's about our heart, and do we really see what we have as being, say, an instrument of reaching people? And if we do, giving is not that big of a deal. I'll give out of what I have, knowing that my Father is not going to be disappointed in me. And he's not going to be mad at me. And I also know this, he will supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Don't know how, when, or where, but I'm his child, he'll do it. He'll do it. And like the Apostle Paul said, learn to be content with what you have. Discontent will move you out of that place of being able to receive from God. Learn to be content. Father, don't have much now, but I am content because you're my Father.